Greetings in the name of Jesus. Welcome each one of you to this place for a message this morning. I have entitled this, The Power of Words. I'd like for you to consider two verses right from the beginning here. Proverbs 10 and verse 20 says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver." In comparison to James 3 verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." We notice a little bit of a difference, don't we? You can think about that, the power of words. As this week went past, I was wondering what I should preach on. And at one point in the week, I had just looked over some of my inspirations. In my collection of inspirations are different kinds of sermons that have been started and most of them not completed for various reasons. And I had noticed this one, The Power of Words. And I had thought about it just a little bit. But it wasn't very long after in that day that I received a call from someone that I had known quite a few years ago. I'm not sure when the last time was that I seen him, possibly 2008, 2009. I'm not quite sure. Hadn't talked to him in years, if I remember correctly. And as we talked, at the beginning of our conversation, I thought, well, this man must have made something out of himself. It just seemed like there was a measure of respect. But as the conversation continued, I drastically changed my perspective. Because as time went on, the language increased in ungodliness. And he was using all kinds of, well, some choice vulgar words and just extreme wicked language. And he got to the place where I wasn't saying a whole lot about it. Well, I don't know if I said anything. I listened and talked, just kind of kept it low key. And every once in a while, I might have put a comment in or something about something, kind of to make him think. And after a while, he comes around, he says, "You know, I don't know." He says, "Maybe you're hearing some of the bag language I'm using. And if I remember right, I acknowledged it. And he went on to say that he doesn't know if he is a Christian. He just tries to be a Christian, and he doesn't really know if he is one. He just tries. Well, we'll let that conversation for now, but as I thought back on that phone call, it kind of inspired me to pick up this sermon, The Words, The Power of Words. I'd like to consider a few thoughts before we relate to the power of words more directly. First of all, words, a gift from God. I'd just like to think about that a little bit. Have you ever put yourself in the shoes of someone who cannot speak? Sometimes it's good to be a little bit creative because it helps us understand the blessings that we enjoy when we do that. Words are a gift from God, and I don't know that there's any adult here this morning that cannot speak. I'm not aware of that. But most people are blessed with the gift of speech. You know, we know as babies that are born into the world, they come into this world and they cannot speak. But by the time they're 2 or 3 years old, we would be rather concerned if there would be no development of speech. We would be concerned parents, and we would probably take proactive steps in trying to understand what the problem is, why this child doesn't speak. We depend on words very much. And this morning, I just want to put that out, that words or a gift from God. If you can speak this morning, it's a blessing that God has blessed you with. And we take it for granted so very much. A question I like to consider as well is, why did God create words? It would be very frustrating, I believe, to not to be able to communicate and to speak. But I believe God made communication an integral part of our life for the purpose of communicating. Words express the way we think, the way we feel, what's in our heart. Words can express love, concern, appreciation, encouragement, happiness, commitment, forgiveness, desires, and blessings. But words, on the other hand, in contrast, can also express hatred and anger, criticism, annoyance, frustration, disappointment, sadness, bitterness, and cursing. What I'm trying to bring out this morning is that why did God create words? It was for the purpose of communicating. And sometimes when we're feeling sad, we just need to share it to someone to help us feel better. God created words so that we would communicate. Another question that I'd like to consider is, why should we consider our words? The psalmist was concerned about his words. He expressed his thoughts in words like this, Psalms 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalmist's prayer many years ago portrays a concern about his words. And I believe David understood this concept that I want you to get. Words can be expressed in either a negative or a positive way. And I believe it doesn't take us long to understand that, like David, we want our words and our thoughts to be accepted with God. That's why we need to consider our words. We are born with the carnal nature to say things that we shouldn't. We are born with the carnal nature to say things that are selfish and not pleasing to God. We also live under a society today where words are becoming less and less godly. And the influence of these ungodly words find their way into our life by choice and by influence. In light of this, I'd like to make a few practical points on why we need to consider our words. I have 7, just briefly. Number 1, words are hard to restrain. That's why we need to consider our words. They're hard to restrain. If you would go to James chapter 3, you would read many verses on the tongue. I have one here, James 3 and verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so we see that the tongue it likes to speak. It likes to say words. It likes to talk. And complicated with that whole situation is it wants to talk evil. That's our tongue. Secondly, why we need to consider our words is words should bless. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And as I thought of this, I was thinking of how God set a standard for our words. God set a standard that he wants us to meet with language, with words. Words should bless. Thirdly, why should we consider our words? As words are heard. Psalms 139 and verse 4 says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And even beyond the Lord hearing our words, people are hearing our words. And this is very, very much of a thought we should be considering, because our words are important. They do something to others. They also are heard by God, which he takes it into consideration why we're saying the things that... words are heard. Fourthly, words identify our character. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." It doesn't take very long if you're with someone to put him in a category because of his words. And you see what happens. I don't believe any of us would like to be a fool or swallow ourselves up. See the power in the word also as well. Why should we consider our words? Fifthly, words impact others. Proverbs 26 and verse 22 says that the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And so we see here that words affect others. They impact others. They can hurt others. They can damage others. And it's to the point where it's hard to take back, retract. You know, you can't retract your words, but it's hard to undo the damage of words. Why should we consider our words? Sixthly, words leave a testimony. Titus 2 and verse 8 says, "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." And as we think of a testimony, it is very important to leave a right testimony. Our words either encourage people or discourage people. And the things that we say, we in no way want to have come back condemning us because of how it affected others' lives. Why should we consider words? Seventhly, words bring results. Matthew 12, verse 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Or we could have said, words bring consequences. But either for the good or for the bad, but by our words, finally, is going to be the determining factor whether we're going to be condemned or whether we're going to be justified. Moving on more directly to the power of words, I'd like to first of all just think of the power in written words for a little bit. The Bible, the most powerful words ever written. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And so we have the power of the word. And this morning in the devotional, we read, "The voice of the Lord is powerful." Brother Lloyd read that. And if we would have kept going to the next verse, it says, "The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedar." And we see that there's power in God's word. In the written word, we have power. Also, just thinking of God's word a little bit, I just like to bring in word pictures. Word pictures also have a way of portraying power. Proverbs 16 and verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." It gives us pictures to help us think through this, how words are like something good. I like a honeycomb. They're good tasting, they're sweet, and they're also good health, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. It gives word pictures, it presents a power there. Proverbs 18 and verse 4, another word picture, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep water, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." Well, a deep water or a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. You know, as you think of getting water out of a spring, it's cool and refreshing. And that's portraying a word picture of how our words can be. Proverbs 25 and verse 11 is another word picture. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver." Just another word picture of how words can be. They are beautiful in a proper time and place. The power of words. Also, I think of articles. There's many articles that are written, even in our church papers, that do something for you. You read them, and it gives you an inspiration or an encouragement or a challenge. There's something there about reading words that can have an effect on our life. There's books out there that we can read. There's poems, all meant for the purpose of inspiration. At least some of the poems aren't always good, but they can be made for the purpose of inspiration, the power of words. But even when something is good, it inspires us. But when we read something bad, it has the opposite effect on us. the power of words. We could think of cards, sending cards, thank you cards, sympathy, birthday. They're all meant to do something. We could think of the songs this morning we sang. Why did we sing? Because it does something for us. It praises God, it worships God, but in turn it also does something for our life. Billboard signs, it's another example of the power of words. Why do you have people that drive past a billboard sign and then they call up the people and chew them out for having it up there? Because they don't like it, because it does something to them. Especially religious billboards, something sometimes people don't like what are put on there, but there's a power that's released. Or the road signs, or whatever we could put into there, there's power in words. Now I'd like to move on to the power in spoken words a little more. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'd just like to read a couple verses there. We just touched briefly on God's word, God's spoken word, but right in here in the written word in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 through 9, I would like to read a few verses. I'm sorry, that's 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3 and verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, wherein the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I'd like to get three thoughts out of this. The power in spoken word here. God's word created the world. Notice the power of effect. If you would go back to Genesis, it would say God said, and it was so. We also notice the present tense, that by the same word, the world is still kept in store. And so we see that by the word of God, the earth is now preserved in the present. And also it tells us, the word of God tells us that the world will be destroyed. It is also the word of God. And we see that the power will be in the future. These verses bring out the power of God's word. Whether spoken or written, the word of God is all-powerful and will not fail. God created the words. God created words to be powerful. And he also made us responsible for the words we say. God gives two strong contrasting differences relating to the words. And for the rest of my passage, I'd like to consider this verse, Proverbs 18. I'm sorry, for the rest of the message, I'd like to consider this verse, Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I'm not going to spend a lot of time discussing that verse, but I'd like to pull out some things here for us. I would like to consider words that tend to death and words that tend to life. I want us to notice that the power of words, what the power of words can do to others and also to ourselves. Words of life bring good results, and words of death bring bad results. And finally and ultimately, words will determine our destiny. Determine in your heart, as we go through this message, what kind of results you want to reap by the words you say. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I have seven words on the negative, and I have seven on the positive. First of all, we'll look at words tending to death. Number one, we have untruth. Proverbs 20 and verse 17 says, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth is filled with gravel. I'm not sure haste. to have my mouth full of dirt. But you notice the contrast there? Bread of deceit is sweet to the man. Right at the moment, it feels good, it feels right, but afterwards, it results into something that's not pleasant. I thought of Jacob getting the blessing in Genesis 27. How he deceived his father in thinking he was Esau. He had already gained the birthright, and now he needed the blessing to make that an active status. And he went to his father and deceived him and told him, I'm Esau, and his father blessed him. And that's what his mother asked him to do because she wanted him to have it. And at the moment, it might have felt good to do, but in the end, it resulted in a relationship with his brother that was very, very bad. Or we could think of Ananias and Sapphira, who came and lied about the price of the money. And Proverbs 12, verse 19 says, a lying tongue is but for a moment. Untruth will be exposed in time. In this story, it costs the lives of the liars in the moment. God brought swift destruction. The Bible also says that liars will have their part in the lake of fire, in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And so we see that untruth tends to death. Another word I like to consider is that of blasphemy. Mark chapter 3 and 28 says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And I like to say this morning, those that continually reject God and refuse to listen to the call of the Holy Spirit separate themselves from God, their only hope. And eventually these kind of people are so hardened and they hate God so much that they speak out in such defiance against him. They bring themselves to a place where God doesn't call them anymore. The Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. And we see this kind of language, what it can take you to, somewhere where you don't want to go to death. Another negative word that I like to consider is dirty language. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 5 and verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And I just like to say about this, that this language takes people's mind away from God. And when we take people away from God, it takes them towards death. It takes our minds to unclean and impure thinking, and it's not beneficial to anyone listening. And so it takes people the wrong way. And so we see that this dirty language can tend towards death. Fourthly, are the words hatred and anger. Matthew 5 and verse 22 says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall call his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. James 1 and verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so we see that these words, hatred and anger, tend towards death. Fifthly, I want to think of mockery. I thought of the account where the children came out and mocked Elisha. You know what the result was? Two shear bears came out and tore up many children. The result of it, God wasn't happy with it. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And God is not happy with that kind of language, and the consequences can be very strong. Also, I thought of, sixthly, swearing. Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, I believe we need to be careful in the words that we speak. I believe this comes closer home than we would admit. I know one of the words that I can say is the term, "Oh my word." But if you look at that in its real meaning, that could be a form of Jesus. Just give you a little bit of a mind opener to that. Be careful about swearing. Be careful with your words. And it says that the Lord will not hold him guiltless. You see, it's tending towards death. Also, we have, seventhly, idle words. Matthew 12 and 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." James 5 and 12 says, "Let your yea-yea and your nay-nay." Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. And as I was on the phone with this young person, this is one of the passages that he began to mock. Evidently, he had done something wrong, and his boss had come up to him and asked him about it, and he had used some words he shouldn't have, and the boss confronted him, but at the same time used some other words. And then this boy went on to explain, mock this passage of how our speaking is to be. But this is the word of God, and I believe there's something that we need to take in consideration with our words, and that is that we need to be very careful with our idle words. And I'm very surprised and shocked different times as I look up words. I'm surprised at their meanings. And I'd just like to encourage you, if there's any filler words that you're using, look them up in the dictionary. You may be very surprised at the meaning. I've been shocked many times. And so we see this is a negative side of it. Words that have the power to take us to death. Now, I'd like to turn that around and look at words tending to life. Number one, words of blessing. Matthew 5 and 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Did you hear that promise? Words tending to life. Then I just thought of Stephen being stoned, how he just took it and the blessing he received, and seeing the heaven open and seeing God standing at the right hand of God because he was willing to surrender to his enemies. Words of blessing. Words tending to life. Secondly, words of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." Colossians 2 and verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught." Grace grows through thanksgiving. Now, just think about that a little bit. Maybe you come up to a hard time. I thought of Paul and Silas in prison. The stripes were laid on them. They were stuck in stocks, I believe, if I remember correctly. And at midnight, when they could have been depressed and discouraged, they turned around and they sang to God. Words of thanksgiving give us grace. They tend to life. It does something for us. It helps us grow in the right way. Thirdly, words of truth. Proverbs 12 and verse 19a says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever." Ephesians 4 and verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things." I thought of Peter, Paul and Peter. Peter had been eating with the Gentiles, but for some reason, he was inconsistent with that and pulled himself back. And Paul, in Galatians 2, it mentions that Paul came and withstood him to the face because of his inconsistency. Words of truth can help us to grow. Notice that truth and growth are mentioned in the same verse. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things." And so we see it tending to life. Fourthly, we have words of kindness. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Kind words spoken in the right tone can have a major impact on an angry person. I thought of Abigail, who kindly went out to meet David after her husband, I believe it was, made some pretty unkind statements or uncaring statements about David. David came and was going to come and probably kill them, and Abigail intervened and went to meet him and took gifts, and we noticed that the soft answer saved their lives. Words of kindness tend to life. Fifthly, we have words of exhortation. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, Hebrews 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. James 5 and verse 20 says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so we see that exhortation can help people on their journey of life. It helps our lives, and it helps others' lives, and it tends to life because of the outcome. Sixthly, we have words of forgiveness. Luke 23 and verse 34 says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Matthew 6 verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. There is something, a power that's released. When you choose not to forgive someone, it becomes a chain on your own neck because you become controlled. It says fathers can forgive you through your forgiveness of men. And so if we have words of forgiveness, they tend to life. I thought of the Lord that had been forgiven much, but he went out, and the one that owed money to him for just a little bit, he refused to forgive. And if we'd read that story, we'd understand how they came and destroyed him because of his actions. Seventhly, we have words of faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I thought of Elijah praying for rain. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. And then he prayed for rain, and it did. Words of faith. It tends to life. It brought about a good result. Well, what for words do you want to speak? I have a few verses here that I'd just like to quote before I close. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Proverbs 10 and verse 31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut off. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs 15 and verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Proverbs 21 and 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. I'm sorry, that was a duplicate. Well, this morning as we think of this, I want you to ponder, are your words tending to life or are they tending to death? The power of words. God bless you. Emmanuel for prayer.